Welcome back, everybody. It's Monday, April the 8th, 2024. Now, born on this date, in 1977, computer engineer and creator of Pigeon, back when it was called Game, Mark Spencer of Auburn. We have a lot for a Monday. We have an update on the cost of the I-10 Bayway project. We have Charles Barkley being kind of nice to the Tide. A little girl you'll want to hear about. An explainer on today's eclipse, and I get to speak with columnist Roy S. Johnson about Major League Baseball coming to Rickwood Field for a day. My name is Ike Morgan, and we're down in Alabama. The Interstate 10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project is still on, but likely to be finished a few years later and possibly cost a few hundred million dollars more, reports AL.com's John Sharp. Originally, the target completion was set for 2028. According to AL.dot, it'll take 5 years to finish once they get started. Now, that math already puts the project beyond 28. Also, the project had been estimated at $2.7 billion. But with a higher cost of pretty much everything now, the estimated range is $2.8 billion to $3.5 billion. AL.dot is spending the next couple months re-examining the latest costs and what that means for the financing plans. Now, how impressive was the Alabama men's basketball team's run to the Final Four? So impressive that Charles Barkley found it in his heart to call the school the University of Alabama, reports AL.com's Mark Heim. See, the Auburn and NBA legend has taken to calling the Tide Alabama University in a troll move. While he finally said it correctly after Saturday night's 86-72 semifinal loss to number one UConn, he prefaced it with, "I have great hatred toward Alabama." Alabama finished its season 25-12. It was a first Final Four appearance for the Tide. Now, not to be lost in all this is that Barkley's alma mater, despite its early exit from the NCAA tournament, is the 2024 SEC tournament champion. So Alabama has proved in multiple sports now, you don't have to win the conference to reach the national semifinals. And that would be another troll move. God bless Emory Johnson. She's the 7-year-old girl who's gotten attention over her lemonade stand in Scottsboro, reports AL.com's Haley Lawrence. Now, she recently came home from school with the idea. Word got around, and beginning Thursday, people were pouring in by the dozens to buy some lemonade and support her little business. Now, she's had people making donations and dropping off extra cups and lemonade to try to keep her from running out. Bikers, cops, local business people. Now, the reason she was inspired to do this was for her mother, who died suddenly last month. See, Emory wanted to help fund a tombstone for Carly Bordner. And Emory's grandma has said that all this attention has the girl talking about how much people love her mama. Well, it's finally here. The dramatic, at least if clouds don't mess it up wherever folks are around the country, solar eclipse is scheduled for this afternoon. Alabama is not in the path of totality, which sounds kind of ominous, but is the swath of North America where the sun will be totally eclipsed by the moon. Longtime listeners of Down in Alabama are familiar with expert explainer Jonathan Sobolewski. We're going to let him take this one.
On Monday, April 8th, most of the United States will see a partial, if not total, solar eclipse. So let's go over the quick stuff first. A solar eclipse is when the moon gets between the Earth and the sun, temporarily blocking the sun out. It's not actually that uncommon. The planet usually gets 2 total solar eclipses every 3 years. This time, it just happens to be going across the United States. Now, here in Alabama, we are not in the path of totality for the solar eclipse, but we will be getting around an 80% eclipse of the sun. If you want to go to a place that's going to be in the path of totality, meaning the sun will be completely blocked out, the closest place to us is probably Arkansas. But I'm going to warn you, I've got family in the path of totality, and the word is that if you haven't already booked a hotel room, you are probably not going to get one. But if you want to stick around and watch it at home in Alabama, it's going to get started a little after 12 p.m. and wrap up a little after 3 p.m. Though the big show is going to be around 2-ish. I can't give you an exact to the minute time because Alabama is a big state, so the height of the eclipse will be at 1:54 in Mobile, but 2 p.m. in Birmingham. NASA made a tool on its website that lets you just put your zip code in, and it will give you the exact details of the eclipse for wherever you're at, including the weather. If you are interested, check that. Alright, basic rules for an eclipse. Do not look directly at the sun. If you want to see the eclipse, you need to get a special device or special glasses. And not just regular sunglasses. My wife got us these things, and they are harder to see through than a welder's mask. Just remember, directly staring at the sun for any length of time is bad for your eyes, so be careful. I'm going to try to get some video from the Path of Totality from my family on the day, and hopefully we'll have that on AL.com. But me, myself, I plan on kicking back with my camera on the roof of the AL.com building and getting a nice shot of the eclipse on the Birmingham skyline. It's supposed to be nice outside. Anyway, that should be it. Eclipse Monday afternoon in Alabama. I'm Jonathan Sobolewski for AL.com.
Thanks, Sobo. We're going to take a really brief break and then talk with Roy S. Johnson about Rickwood Field and Major League Baseball. All right, folks, it's a great time of year we're in, especially if you dodge the severe weather that some Alabamians had to deal with this week. Now, one of my favorite parts about this particular change of season is that it's baseball season. Now, in Alabama, we have a long history of producing pro players, and we have a pretty good abundance of minor league teams right now. This season, we get a special treat in the form of a big league game on June 20th. Between the St. Louis Cardinals and the San Francisco Giants at the famous Rickwood Field in Birmingham. Now, Roy S. Johnson, you probably know, is a columnist for AL.com. He writes on a wide variety of subjects, is a voice on Alabama politics, culture, race relations. He's had a distinguished career as a sports journalist. Now, he's followed the news of this game, how it came to Birmingham, and MLB's relationship with Birmingham. Now, Roy, we're proud to have you here. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love this this topic, this time of year, as you said, where it will be 30 degrees in the morning and 80 degrees in the afternoon. Welcome to Alabama in the spring.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Maybe with a tornado and maybe with a beautiful day. This ball game, actually, we could start on a little bit of background. Major League Baseball tried to get into the Little League, the local Little League scene here. Can you talk a little bit about that? Just kind of what set us up for a pretty cool bounce back by Major League Baseball?
Sure. As you and your listeners are more than likely aware, Birmingham is a growing city, an evolving city, and has been doing so for decades. A few years ago, Major League Baseball approached Birmingham about planting one of its urban academies here. And those are entities they have around the country that were created to try to stem the exit of black ball players to the majors, to the game, to try to attract more young black players to the game. They provide training. They provide help with education and tutoring, and they're really great institutions around the country where they exist, and they've really been able to have an impact, at least at the lower level. Unfortunately, growing, as we know, requires growing pains, and that idea did not meet favorably with some people in this city who did not want the academy in their neighborhood, so they were very outspoken. And through their city councilor, Valerie Abbott, were instrumental in ultimately running Major League Baseball away from Birmingham. They usually are welcomed in cities. There's not tension with trying to bring something that would have a major economic impact and cultural impact to a city. So it looked as if the relationship between the city and Major League Baseball was all but dead. But thanks to a few people who kept the lines of communication open, and thanks to Birmingham's own history in baseball and just its history, its place in history in the United States, it came to pass that this idea was floated of taking what they called, what Major League Baseball called its Field of Dream games game to the city. And that was a game, of course, that name grew out of the film, which is one of the great baseball films of all time. A field was built in Iowa by a man who was a devotee of baseball and, you know, had grown up playing catch with his father. They built it in a cornfield, and ultimately, as you know, a lot of former major leaguers came out of the cornfields and played a game in the middle of Iowa. And so they create Major League Baseball created a Field of Dreams game, and they played once in Iowa. But this year they decided to bring it to Rickwood Field. And what's fascinating is that most people don't even know Rickwood Field exists. It's the oldest baseball park in America. I'll give you a confession. I've never been over there. I've been in Birmingham for 10 years now this April, and I had never been to Rickwood Field, which was basically, it's not quite around the corner, but it may be 15 minutes from my house. And I had not been there until after I broke the story that Major League Baseball was coming, and I drove over there. I was like, wow, this is a whole field. And I began to dig deeper into the history and thought, what a perfect alignment of a sport and a history and a city to rebuild this relationship. It's almost even better than the Academy. And I'm not sure if folks here understand the magnitude of what's about to happen. I mean, this is a huge, huge event. It may be, and again, I've only been here 10 years, and I know that there have been Iron Bowls played here, et cetera, but this may be the biggest sports event, the hardest ticket in this city's history. To have two Major League Baseball teams come to your town and play not an exhibition game, but a regular season game, and all of the things that are around that, staff, people from MLB will be coming to this city. It is a huge, it's going to be a huge experience, a huge opportunity for the city to rebuild. The relationship's already rebuilt, but if it comes off right, it could be a catalyst for some significant change and impact relative to MLB and Birmingham.
Wow, I want to just reinforce what Roy is saying. It is a really cool place with a lot of great history. I have only been there once. I didn't see a ball game. I played in a softball game there, actually. And you step back in time. I mean, you jog out to center field and you think about, you know, warm it up with long toss with Willie Mays. You walk over to the stands where Babe Ruth signed kids' autographs, and that sort of thing is just for a baseball nut. You know, it is a place that is on the must-see list. They've been doing a lot of work there to get ready for this game. One thing I noticed when I was there, the dugouts were so tiny. And this was because, you know, 1919 is when this place was built. And, you know, I guess you didn't have Jose Canseco's walking through dugouts back then. But now this game, you mentioned it being a hot ticket. Or is this something you're going to be able to attend yourself?
I don't know. I don't jump the line. So I will be trying like everyone else. I might be relatively confident. But, you know, you don't know until you hold it in your hand. Hold that ticket, that golden ticket in your hand. Whether you're really going to be there. I want to reiterate something you said about the facility, and what this game is doing is bringing an infusion of cash into a place that has been long overlooked. When you go, you can stand there, and as you said, you're standing at the same place that Babe Ruth did, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays. You can pretty much name a major league star, and they played at Rickwood Field, but it's an old place, right? And the dugouts, right, yeah, there were no Jose Canseco's. There may not have been even any Ike Morgans or Roy Johnsons in some of those dugouts. So it's almost going to have to be totally, totally reconfigured. And I've seen some recent photos that they're making a lot of progress. The dugouts have been redug, and they're going to be Major League Baseball or close configured. They're removing and changing out a lot of the seats. They're going to make it code friendly. Imagine there were no ADA codes and fire codes back in the day. Would you say 1919 or whenever this thing was built? So it'll get the infusion that it deserves. It's the oldest baseball park in America, and yes, MLB should play a role in that. And I believe that once this game is done, it may not be the last regular season MLB game. It may not be, certainly won't be the last time MLB comes to Birmingham, because it should have much of an ownership stake in Rickwood, in its history, in the fact that, yes, and it will be repeated many times, it's the oldest baseball park in America, period. No argument. More than Fenway, more than Wrigley. The oldest baseball park in America is in Birmingham, Alabama. And in this summer, it will see a major league game played live on national television.
Yeah, I think I got the date wrong on that. I think 1910 was the actual opening date. Although we can just say it's a long time ago. That's 100 years ago is back there. Now, I don't know if you have any insight on this, but this week we got some scuttlebutt that, gosh, the man who would be the man of honor if he shows up, Willie Mays. You think he might actually be able to show up to this thing? Do you have any insight on that?
I think the only person who has insight as to whether or not Willie Mays will be here is God. He is well into his 90s. You don't see many public appearances by Willie in San Francisco. He is an ambassador for the Giants, an ambassador for all of Major League Baseball, a living testament to its history, a living connection to greatest days, the embodiment of the game at its peak. I don't know if we have a Willie Mays today. Certainly we have some great players, and I will never take anything away from any of them, but the things that this man did and the things he had to endure. There is a great documentary on him that people should watch before this game. But yeah, there will be no greater moment than when Willie Mays is brought out to the field at Rickwood. So we should all pray that is able to happen. And as I said, only God knows.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, Mays from Fairfield originally played with the Birmingham Black Barons and later in Major League Ball.
And yes, this is his home field. This is where he grew up, where he learned at the feet of people like Satchel Paige. You mentioned that he's from Fairfield, which is widely credited. Apparently, he was actually born in a city that no longer exists, which is near Fairfield. So I read that in one of our articles recently, that he was born in a city that doesn't exist anymore. But he's credited with growing up in Fairfield, which for those who are not familiar with Rickwood Field, is about maybe a 9-iron and a wedge away from Rickwood. So I'm sure he probably ran to Rickwood Field as a teenager many, many times to partake in the game. So there's not just that he's the greatest living ball player, but he's from Birmingham. He is a hometown hero in every way imaginable that can be described. So yes, there could be nothing greater than having Willie Mays be there for the game honoring the Negro League players.
But also point out that it's no coincidence. I don't think that the game is held a day after the Juneteenth holiday. The day before Juneteenth, we will have a minor league game there as well, between the Montgomery Biscuits and the Birmingham Barons. Roy, really appreciate you coming on and talking about this, and I hope you get to that ball game. I hope that I get to that ball game. But
yeah, it's April, so we are almost within the countdown to the game. I plan on going out in the next couple of weeks to see, you know, how the renovations are coming in progress. But starting to feel some excitement. I'm you know, the season has started. The 2024 MLB season has begun. So it's on. It's real. They are playing ball, and they're turning out this day. It'll be a magical day for the city and for Major League Baseball to come together and showcase this city, this field, And hopefully it becomes something that attracts tourists. It becomes part of the many attractions that bring people to Birmingham, from the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute to, you know, a few miles away in Selma, the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and of course the museums in Montgomery. Rickwood Field deserves to be a stopping point on that tour. So hopefully this Major League light that's being shed on the field will give it an opportunity to be elevated, not just in the minds of baseball fans, but in the minds of Americans who value history and who really want to see and walk in places where history was made. So thank you for having me. Let's talk again, either before or after the game. Maybe we'll see each other there if we're lucky.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Don't stare at the sun. We'll be back bright and early in the morning. Y'all come see us on the internet at al.com.